So pat yourself on the back and say, man, I look good today. Go ahead, you can do it. Yeah, I like that. It is great to be home. Thank you for our time away. We had a great time, a time of playing with our grandchildren, and which was wild, and some rest. So it is great to be, though, back with you this morning. As far as announcements, I want to mention that today is New Member Sunday, and so we're going to welcome Tim and Judy Cash and John and Carolyn Corley, Larry and Julie Norton, Bob Patterson, Lynn Schetzel, and Sherry Wilson as membership of our church. And then we are going to have a special luncheon with them after worship. And I also wanted to mention to you that next Sunday is Palm Passion Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. And so we'll have lunches the 15th, 16th, and 17th. Please take note of our speakers. Please share this with the community. We want to invite everyone in the community to these lunches next week for Holy Week, and it's going to be a very special time together. They begin at 11:45 and end at 12:45. So take note of everything that's going on in the bulletin and read that for yourself. And, of course, register your attendance this morning. That would be great if you would do that as well. Let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship as we go to God in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your love and kindle in us a fire for your love. Come, Holy Spirit, and receive our worship. May all that we do during this time together be a blessing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. In Christ's holy name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you, James. If you all join me together in singing Spirit of the Living God, number 393. Standing and join our opening hymn, Oh, How I Love Jesus, number 170. There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Amen. If we ask God to restore us to the way we have been, then we have not asked for as much as God intends to give. God is not content simply to return or restore us to former things. Instead, God seeks to give the gift of resurrection, a new and abundant life. With confidence in God's generosity, we confess our sins and seek the new life offered in Jesus Christ. Purifying God, we grow comfortable with the way things are in our lives, in the church, and in the world. We do not always welcome the new life you offer in Christ, for you overturn our notions of power and protocol. Sure of our own righteousness, we are critical of others. Wanting to control our assets, we hoard the gifts you give us. Forgive us, we pray, for seeking our gain at the expense of others. Help us bend our lives toward your own life of self-giving and sacrifice. Fill us, our homes and churches, the whole world, with the abundant love of Christ, until all are made new. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul reminds us that we do not make ourselves righteous. Our righteousness comes through faith in Christ, who has made us his own. Hear the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. The old life has passed away, and a new life has begun. Forgetting what lies ahead and straining forward to what lies ahead. We press on toward the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. May be seated. Our first scripture that you're reading this morning comes from the book of Philippians, written by Paul, starting at the fourth verse, the third chapter. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Nick. As we come to our time of prayer this morning, if you'll notice those who are on our prayer concerns, I would also add that Alan Klepper needs our prayers. He is dealing with quite a bit. I will not go into that, but just please keep he and Mim in your prayers. He is in the hospital. Also, I talked with Charlotte this morning, and Gary is a little bit stronger, but she is really, she's really sort of scheduling his visits with folks so as not to wear him out. But he is eating a little bit and is feeling some better. So please continue to keep Gary and Charlotte in your prayers. Those are the updates that I think that I have this morning. We are going to do prayers of the people, and what that means is that I will begin the prayer, and then I will leave it open for you to say the name or a situation that you that you would like to pray for, and then we will all respond with, Lord, have mercy. So let us go to God in prayer. Almighty God and Father, we are so grateful and humbled by your grace and your love. We come together, God, as the body of Christ, each of us individually loving you and seeking you and your guidance. And then collectively, God, we come together to worship you and to sing your praises. We thank you, God, for your holy word that is read from Paul's letter. We thank you, God, for Paul's example. And we thank you, God, for the opportunity to share with you our hearts, our minds, and our spirits as we lift to you the things that we are joy-filled about and the things that we are concerned about. Please hear us now, O God, as we pray. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Jerry Ball.
Lord, have mercy.
Stephen Nardi.
Lord, have mercy.
Ruby Garcia.
Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Henry Steele.
Lord, have mercy.
Students and their teachers.
Lord, have mercy.
Our new members.
Lord, have mercy.
Judy K.
Lord, have mercy. Marianne Smoot and her sons. Lord, have mercy. For the joy of the beauty of the earth that you have created, that we are so enjoying, Lord. Lord,
have mercy.
Oh God, we are humbled by your presence. We are humbled to sit at the feet of Jesus as Mary did, and to worship you and love you, and to receive your love for us. Please hear our prayers, oh God, and help each of us to be your hands and feet to one another, to be loving and kind, and to grow in our relationship with you as we continue to worship you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
This time we ask our ushers to wait upon us for our offering. If we ask God to restore us, as it is written in Deuteronomy, since there will never cease to be some in need on the earth, I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor. Through our tithes and offerings, we can give generously, as Mary did, and remember the poor. As we open wide our hands, we attend to Christ himself, who is present especially among those considered the least and the lost. Let us offer to God these gifts for ministry in Christ's name.
Thank you.
Join me, please. Abundant God, you cause water to flow in desert places. You give wine to flow at a wedding feast and food to feed 5,000 on a grassy mountainside. Your generosity astounds and humbles us. We bow before you in gratitude and awe, asking you to receive what we have brought in response. May these gifts be a pleasing and fragrant offering for the sake of the world you came to save. We pray in your holy name. Amen.
So it is here. Jesus is a priceless treasure.
Jesus, Christ, the treasure, source of purest displeasure, true is His friend to me.
church said, amen. Amen. Thank you, choir. That was a beautiful piece. And I agree, Jesus is our treasure. I think it was an uplifting song. It was a little slow, but it was beautifully sung, and the words were very meaningful. So thank you very much. Thank you much. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we have come to worship you, and we have come to receive your grace at your table. Let us hear your word today, God, more clearly. As we have already heard from Paul's letter, let us hear from the Gospel of John the words that you have for us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Extravagant, indescribable, overflowing, outrageous, beyond the call of duty, all this type of love from a common woman in the days of Jesus was not heard of, and certainly not what we usually associate with Lent and the overture to Jesus' passion. But Mary of Bethany understands differently. Would you join me in John chapter 12, beginning with verse 1 and going through verse 8? Hear the word of the Lord for us. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and he kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. They stop in to visit some of their very dear friends, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, in a very small town called Bethany, right outside, not very far from Jerusalem. As they enter, they are greeted by Martha and Lazarus. Lazarus invites them to recline at the table. And Martha, of course, as Martha is always doing, begins preparing and serving food to them. I would imagine Jesus and Lazarus are talking about Lazarus' return from the dead. Jesus might have said to Lazarus, "So how are you feeling?" Lazarus might have said, "I don't even have words to describe it, how good I feel." Lazarus could be saying to Jesus, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you." The other disciples are gathered around the table. But Mary, who is accustomed to sitting at the feet of Jesus, has not appeared just yet. When she finally comes to the table, she bends down on her knees at the feet of Jesus. She takes down her long hair. She opens a bottle of expensive perfume, nard. and she pours it on his feet. Can you vision it? She pours it on his feet, and the aroma of the perfume fills the whole house, not just that spot. And then she begins to wipe his feet with her hair. All the men in the room are stunned. They're going, "Do you see what she's doing? What is she doing?" The house is totally quiet. And I could just imagine Mary, because I'm a music, I love music. I could imagine her humming softly. Oh, I know they didn't have this song. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. As she's wiping his feet. I would imagine she was oblivious to the men's reactions, as her total focus, every ounce of her being, was focused on Jesus with her genuine love. What was she thinking? Here this young woman is pouring perfume, very expensive perfume, on the feet of a man that she is not betrothed to. She's not engaged to him. For those of you who don't understand betrothed, that's sort of an old term. She is taking down her hair, which simply was not done in those days. Women wore their hair up or in a kerchief thing, hat, whatever, scarf. But to remove her scarf and to let her hair down and to sit at the feet of a man that she is not married to. He is not her husband. This was unheard of. She has crossed a barrier of intimacy with her Lord and our Lord Jesus. The disciples were all surprised. And Judas Iscariot, of course, is the one to call her on it. And the waste of such an expensive perfume. Now let's think about this a second. Hasn't Jesus been traveling? Aren't his feet dusty from the road? Isn't it a custom of the time that when you have a guest in your home, you wash their feet? No one else washed his feet. So for Mary, this was normal. Except for the way in which she washed the feet of her Lord Jesus. If you recall, Mary is the one who was always sitting at the feet of Jesus. Remember? She was always hanging on every word. Remember the time that Jesus came and Martha was busy fixing food and preparing to feed Jesus, and Martha said, "Jesus, make her get up from there and help me." And Jesus said to Martha, "Mary has chosen the better of the two choices." To sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear the words that Jesus has to say to her. And even at the tomb of Lazarus, when Jesus was on his way and Mary finds out, what does Mary do when she sees Jesus? She falls to his feet. Mary was a young woman who adored Jesus, who listened intently, and who showed her love for Jesus on this day with extravagant, genuine, and amazing love. Judas, on the other hand, was a follower of Jesus, a disciple, but one with an agenda. Do you know people who have agendas? I'm sure you do. I do. Judas had an agenda. His hope was that Jesus would become this great ruler, not this dying Lord on a cross that he didn't even know about yet. He kept the bag of money and was known for helping himself. He is outraged that such an expensive perfume is wasted. Wasted on Jesus? Really? Are we wasting our time on Jesus? Really? Judas, have you been with Jesus and not heard his messages? Not heard his foretelling of his own death? Have you been asleep following Jesus? Jesus speaks a word of truth to Judas and all the others in the room. She has saved this perfume for the day of my burial. Could Mary really be the only one who has listened and heard Jesus say that his time was coming to an end? Could she have been led by the Holy Spirit to anoint Jesus that particular day on his way to his death? We don't know the answers, do we? Other than speculation, but what we do know is that Mary loved Jesus with a love that was so strong that she could not help but to shower him with this perfume. And her extravagant, indescribable, overflowing, outrageous, beyond the call of duty, genuine love. What can we, on this, the Sunday, the week before Holy Week, what can we take from this story as we continue on the journey to the cross of Calvary? Well, first of all, your extravagant love and my extravagant love are two different things. We're different. Everybody in this room is different. You might show your love by giving to the benevolence ministry when you come for communion. You might show your love for God by helping with the food pantry. You might show your love for God by singing in the choir. That is a love for God. You might show your love by helping with Focus or another of our missions. You might show your love by opening the doors of your home for a child in need. We are all different and unique. Mary gave all that she had. You hear me? All that she had. Not because Jesus was going to die for her sins and save her in eternal life, but because her love was real, alive, and had no strings attached. It was unconditional. What if we didn't know that Jesus died on a cross to forgive our sins and rose on the third day to bring us reconciliation with God and eternal life? Would we be in this church today? Would we be here if there wasn't something in it for us? We can be honest. I dare say we would not. Mary, on the other hand, knew nothing other than the love she had for her Lord. Mary sets an example for the way that we should love our God. How will you show your extravagant love for Christ in the coming days? I want to encourage you, as you come to this table of grace today, that God's love for you is even bigger, more extravagant, more genuine, and so unconditional that he would give his one and only son to die on a cross for you and for me. God's love is bigger than any love we could ever imagine. I want to end with a story that I read this past week. It's a story that I'm told that it actually happened. It happened in Tennessee. It seems there was a 9-year-old little boy and his brother. And their parents, on the weekends would leave these two little boys at home all alone from Friday to Monday. And there was a church not far down the road. And they had a gentleman who drove the bus. They called him the bus pastor. And he was out visiting one day, and he came up, knocked on the door, and the little 9-year-old came to the door, and he said, "Are your parents here?" And they said, "No, they won't be back till Monday." And he said, "Well, can I come in and talk with you?" And the little boy said, "Sure, come on in." He sat down and he talked to him. He told the little boy about Jesus. He said, "May I tell you a story about God, about Jesus, about this man called Jesus?" And so he shared the gospel with him. And the little boy got very excited, 9 years old. And right then and there, he knelt down with this bus pastor and accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior into his heart. As we say. The bus pastor then asked him, "Would you like to go to church?" And the 9-year-old said, "Church? What's church? I've never been to church." He said, "Well, would you like to go? My church is not very far down the road. I could come and pick you up tomorrow, you and your brother. Would you like to go?" The little boy said, "Sure, I'd love to go." The next morning, the bus pastor comes. The house is dark. He goes in the house, he wakes up the boys, helps them get dressed, feeds them a donut on the way to church, and there they go. They get to church, and the little boys are sitting with the bus pastor, and it comes time for the offering. And the little boy is watching this plate come by. And he notices that people are putting money in this plate. He's like, "Why are they putting money in that plate?" And then the light bulb came on. They're giving money to Jesus. They're giving money to Jesus. And so the little boy dug in his pocket and his other pocket. He had nothing. He had nothing to give. And so when the plate came to him, he just held on to it. And then he let it go. He felt so bad because he had nothing to give. He watched the plate go up and down the rows of people. And then suddenly he got an idea. He jumped up out of his seat, ran down the aisle, and tugged on the coattail of the usher and said, "Can I hold that plate for a minute?" The usher said, "Sure." He took the plate, he put it on the floor in front of him, right there in the middle of the aisle, and he stepped right in to the middle of that plate. And he said, "Jesus, I don't have anything to give but me, so I give you me." Mary gave herself. May we do the same this Lenten season, to give ourselves to God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. you'll turn to page 13 with me in your hymnals. For the great thanksgiving, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus was to be betrayed, he had dinner with his disciples. And after he washed their feet, he sat at the table with them. And he took the bread. And he gave thanks to God. And he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." On that same night, he took the cup. Again, he gave thanks to God and gave the cup to his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." So in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ has risen.
Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
With the confidence of the children of God, let us say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Amen.
Rick, if you will assist me, and Jane and Caitlin, if you will assist. Choir, if you will come down. Let's remember that this is not the Methodist table. This is Christ's table. And Christ invites all who truly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace and harmony with one another to come and receive the greatest gift of all. If you need gluten-free, it will be right behind me, and Jane, Caitlin will, I do it wrong every time, Caitlin will have that for you. Choir, as you are sharing the music and the joy of Christ through your music and your service to Christ Jesus, may his body and blood fill you and give you peace and comfort and guide you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Amazing love of God fill you this day as you receive this amazing gift from His Son. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for the gift that we have received. May it nourish us, O God, so that we might better serve you in all that we do. With love beyond love. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning, and I'm going to warn you ahead of time, but our hymn of invitation is One Bread, One Body. And as we are singing the last stanza, I would invite those who are joining the church to come forward and meet me right here in front of the altar. Number 620.
One bread.